Hello and welcome back. Today is Friday, October 16th, 2009. My name is Angela Walton-Raji, and this is the African Roots Podcast. You can always reach me at africanrootspodcast@gmail.com. Well, how is everyone today? I hope everyone's had a good week. Can't believe that October is halfway gone. It's just amazing to me how quickly the time is flying. I have a few announcements for you today, so let's just get started. I hope that I'll have a chance to see some of you on Saturday in Washington, D.C. at the APG panel on professional genealogy at the National Archives in Washington. APG, as many of you know, is the Association of Professional Genealogists, and the National Capital Area Chapter of APG is hosting a panel discussion pertaining to issues related to professional genealogists, or at least of interest to those who are working professionals. The speakers are going to share their thoughts and really also open the floor to further discussion and questions. So it should be a good opportunity for those of you who are thinking of expanding what you're doing, of professionalizing, and really getting some good, solid ideas from others who are already out there doing what you may be aspiring to do. It's a wonderful opportunity. Also coming up, there's a very good announcement I think I'll share with you that just came out yesterday, and this came out of the Geography and Map Division of the Library of Congress. Well, apparently the Library of Congress is putting together a checklist, and actually it's already there online. The checklist itself will give you an idea of what is available at the Library of Congress pertaining to maps, and particularly the Sanborn fire insurance maps. And although this collection or series of maps were really created for business purposes, it's really a wonderful, wonderful tool for historians and genealogists. And we're talking about a collection of over 700,000 maps, so it's really, really pretty extensive. And it's really fascinating because what is now available at the Library of Congress is just the largest collection of Sanborn maps probably in the world. And it's just really kind of a neat thing to take a look at. And they have put up their online checklist, so it's something that can be very, very useful to many people. So that announcement just came out yesterday. Coming up next week, out in New Mexico, our good friend George Jeter is giving a presentation, actually at a state conference. The New Mexico State Chapter all of their branches, I guess, are getting together of the NAACP are having their 58th annual conference in Carlsbad, New Mexico. Well, amidst all of the workshops and sessions and seminars that are being held, our friend George Jeter, who is a professional historian, professional genealogist, is giving a presentation as well. And his presentation is on African ancestors genealogy and why it is important. That is going to take place on Saturday, next Saturday, and it's 9 a.m., I believe it starts. And I think for those of you who are out there in the Southwest and happen to be attending that conference, try and stop in and listen and learn a lot. I think that it'll be something that will be a treat. And good luck to George. I'm sure he's going to give a great presentation. Also coming up, there are some workshops in the Washington, D.C. area that you're encouraged to attend as well. The National Archives has a beginning genealogy session. Actually, it's called Introduction to Genealogy. And this is a series of lectures that they always present periodically. This one is the October one. I think there's one in late November as well that's coming up. And this is really a basic genealogical getting started workshop, and really how to conduct genealogical research with federal records. And it's going to take place Saturday at 10 a.m. in room G24, and that is on 7th and Pennsylvania, as many of you already know. Also taking place on that same day, on the 24th, from noon to 4, those who are not beginners but a little bit more advanced in their research will be interested in knowing that there's going to be a workshop for people who are at a point where they've either hit a brick wall or a particular problem just sort of has you stumped. Well, there are going to be some archivists on hand to answer questions, and this is from noon to 4. So there are going to be signs around called Help, I'm Stuck, so you can bring your problems with you to the archives, and hopefully an archivist will be able to work with you and give you some ideas on how to work through that brick wall you may have encountered. So it looks as if the archives will be busy next weekend. That is the 24th of October for both of those two lectures. How many of you are aware that October is Family History Month? Well, many states, the month of October has been designated as Family History Month, and there are several websites that are online with great ways for you to stimulate your family history research and perhaps get you going in some new directions if you feel that things have just kind of gotten stale or you've just kind of gotten to an area and not sure what new direction to take. I also want to encourage you all to revisit Afrogenius and join in particularly because there's some interesting online challenges that are there, and some really these are fun exercises to celebrate Family History Month. As you may know, Afrogenius.com is the premier website for African American family history and research. Well, there are many message boards where you can interact, ask questions, get answers, and on the main genealogy and history message forum, there have been several challenges that have been shared online, and the response has been great. As particularly, it's just neat to see some of those stories that people are sharing about their favorite ancestors or memorable visits that they've taken, maybe a visit that really had an impact on their life before they began to conduct genealogy research. Participants are sharing just wonderful stories about elders that they remembered when they were children, or some wonderful anecdotes about their own families, about their own parents. So take a look at it. It's the Afrogenius way of participating in Family History Month. And also I think it gives, I think, many readers a chance to stop and reflect, and as many of us forget to do this, to document our own stories. And it is great to see some of these stories coming out. There have been responses coming from people I have seen online for years, but I've never heard some of those fabulous details about their lives that are coming forth. So take a look at it. I think you'll enjoy it and join in some of the discussion. They're wonderful things to read and very heartwarming as well. Well, this has been a very busy week in the genealogy community. Lots of activity still going on. And first and foremost, I have to send out a thank you to everyone who responded to my encouragement of your involvement to save Panasoffkee Cemetery in Sumter County, Florida. That has been something 2 weeks ago. I mentioned it, and I mentioned it again as a follow-up last week. Let me give you a little bit of background just in case you haven't followed it completely. An historically black cemetery in Sumter County, Florida was in danger of being removed to another site. Now, understand we're talking about removing something. We're not talking about removing vaults as one might think of in places like Louisiana where the grave sites are above ground anyway. We're talking about people who've been buried for over 100 years and literally taking out bulldozers and scooping them up, whatever the remains might be, and carrying them someplace else. And initially, it was stated that this was a small family cemetery, but it turns out that this was really a community cemetery for the African American residents of this small community in Panasoffkee, Florida. And the purpose of the removal itself was to allow the land to be used by developers for some sort of commercial venture. I don't even think the developer was ever named. The good news first. Panasoffkee Cemetery has been saved. There has been a tremendous response from the local community as well as from the national community. That means from you. And of course, one cannot overlook the efforts of those who are involved from the Historical Society in Sumter County under the direction of Billy Ray. But there have been just incredible, unrelenting efforts of Tony Carrier, founder of Low Country Africana website, support coming from other friends, Lucky Daniels of Our Georgia Roots, professional researcher out of Santa Fe, New Mexico, George Jeter has been posting, our friend down in Onslow County, North Carolina, Jack Robinson has been involved, and so many others. People have been blogging about it. Many of you have responded with letters to the commissioners, letters to the editor of news of the local newspaper, and just in general, the local community as well. Well, this was something that ended very successfully this week. There was a meeting. I'm not sure if it was at the town hall. I'm not sure what the facility was where there was a meeting, but with the commissioners of the county, local people turned out. They were there with signs. They were telling their story. The press picked up on it in Tampa. Several news stations have carried it, and I have some links on the website for you to read more about the story and watch some of the interviews. There's also a video online of the cemetery itself, and I'll say something about it because I watched the video showing some of the few remaining headstones. It's about an acre or so of land, maybe a little bit more, and I was surprised because I was expecting to see something very thickly overgrown, lots of vines and weeds, I expected maybe to see some vandalism. Now, there were some stones that were broken, but it looks as if more than likely some of them had been crushed, maybe in an effort as those riding lawnmowers may have ridden over some of the stones in an effort to cut it down. But I was surprised that it was not a cemetery that had been destroyed already. It was a quiet, almost beautiful place. You could sense that it did need some current attention, but I was just amazed that someone was going to go and disturb those grave sites of people, many of who have been there for over 100 years. This was, it was a grassroots movement, but it was also, to say the cemetery, it was also, in my opinion, this is my term, an electronic grassroots effort as well, thanks to the fact that messages about the cemetery and the need to act quickly and urgently, they came through email, through blogs, through posts on Twitter, on Facebook, and the word I know was posted on Afrogenius and the genealogical community, as much as the local community did respond. And you out there are also to be commended for this effort. And I want to just share that information with you. I am going to post some info, as I said, about the movement and the fact that everything has turned out well. But there's some lessons from this effort as well. We as genealogists are often made very conscious of issues pertaining to cemeteries because we find ourselves looking for those burial sites. If you're going on a research trip someplace and you want to visit this community where your ancestors lived, well, a logical question to ask to a local resident is, where's the cemetery? And the story of Panasoffkee, of course, it has a happy ending because add to the fact that it's going to be saved, there is now going to be an effort to preserve it and to restore it. Over 70 graves so far have been identified, and now there has been just, it's like a shot in the arm. It's been amazing. And now there's going to be a real proactive effort coming from the local area to really sort of bring some life and some stability now to this burial site. And it's really something that is important. But as I said, there's some lessons from this. Panasoffkee, as I said, had a happy ending, but there are so many abandoned and endangered cemeteries in almost every county, in every state in the country. And so there's a need for all of us to pay attention to those sites that hold the remains of our loved ones. But even so, to take note of those endangered sites, also where we live. We may have moved away from our ancestral home. We may live in another state completely. But take a look around you, whether you have relatives or not. All cemeteries are places to be respected. And we are family historians, and at the same time, we're also preservationists, and we should take note of those issues. I was happy to see something online for a cemetery that was very much an endangered cemetery in the heart of a very large city in Memphis, Tennessee. And I remember getting a death certificate several years ago of an ancestor who died in Memphis and saw that she was buried at a cemetery called Zion Cemetery. And at the time, I had a cousin who lived in Memphis and gave him the address on where the cemetery was supposed to be. And he wrote me back and he said, "My gosh, you don't see a cemetery there. All you see is just a bunch of trees." And fortunately, since that time, there has been an effort in the community to save Zion Cemetery. And it's something that it's got to be understood that people who were buried there were really part of a large community of former slaves, many, many, many of whom migrated to Memphis from Mississippi. And in the 1970s, and probably up to the last maybe 5 or 6 years, the cemetery was in really terrible condition. But in 2005, some energy was put into restoring the cemetery. And I say restore it, not just keep it from being vandalized. Well, it's already had a lot of vandalization, and all kinds of trash has left their old tires, beer bottles, that sort of thing. And there's also a video that people who are involved with the restoration project have put online. And the good news is that so far they have cleared 4 acres of land, so now headstones can be seen again, but they have many more acres to go. But what I was pleased to see was that the cemetery ledger, the actual ledger, handwritten ledger, has been digitized and it is online. And you can type in the name of a deceased person and the page bearing information on the deceased from that ledger actually appears. So I've put that link up there for you. So it's something to really pay attention to. And as I said, endangered cemeteries, unfortunately, are nationwide. And wherever you live, you have an opportunity to get involved and to participate in the restoration of these burial sites. One example, at least, of a city that made the effort, and hopefully it is ongoing, to do something the right way, actually comes out of Kennesaw, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, Georgia. In 2007, the city of Kennesaw, Georgia received a grant, and this grant came from the United States Department of Natural Resources, and they were really looking for some assistance to begin to get images, underground imaging of their town cemetery. They had formed a contract with, and I don't know a lot about the organization called Virtual Underground, but Virtual Underground participated with conducting the imaging, the plotting, as well as photographing the headstones. And the purpose was really to clarify where the burials were made and in what section. A lot of the burials in the town cemetery were made during the Civil War. And during that time, first of all, during a time of war, burials were hastily made. Some people may call them sort of casually done, but they were made in haste, so there wasn't always the type of care that might be done during a time of peace to bury those who are deceased. Well, since that time, of course, many people who had loved ones buried in the cemetery, the plots were then sold to various families over the years. Some of those headstones have disappeared over time, and of course, many times in the 19th century, people used wooden headstones. So, unfortunately, not too long after Virtual Underground had started imaging the cemetery, the funds available really began to dry up, and so they could not complete the plotting and the photography on the entire cemetery. And they did at least complete sections A and B of the cemetery, and I'm not sure how many sections there really are, but there's a very interesting article online written from the perspective of an intern who was working on a master's project and who worked on the project, who really described the preservation effort and also the differences that sometimes arise between the cemetery caretakers and the elected officials and the community. And that scholarly paper is online to download and read. And I could go on and on and on, but there are methods, and at least I think the town began in the right way to take a look at a burial ground as opposed to just hastily making plans to sell it to the highest bidder. And but it should get us thinking as researchers, as preservationists, what can we do to work to ensure the safety of so many of those endangered burial sites? Anyway, wanted to share those stories with you. I realize my time is running out, but some things to give some thought to. All of the things that we do are important. And we're all, you know, excited to hear the news. Last week, everything was in the news about the First Lady, Michelle Obama's ancestry. This week, many of us have been following this story in Sumter County, Florida. And others have been following this story that came in the news. Radio personality Tom Joyner was able to get a pardon for his ancestors that he had never really known about. He had known something had happened to his uncles, but it was never discussed. And the people who knew it were long deceased. Well, through genealogical research, and many of you saw this about a year or two ago on the PBS series African American Lives, he learned that two ancestors were wrongly executed for the death of a person in the community. He was able to get a pardon for his ancestors who were really put to death, unfortunately, almost 100 years ago. And so this came, actually, his knowledge of this tragedy came through genealogical research. So there's a lot to do. There's a lot that's been stimulating interest in family history, and it just, I think, is another example of how what we do is so very, very important. Anyway, I'm going to stop right now. I thank you for taking some time out of your day to listen to me. And I always encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, which is to keep researching, keep documenting, and please keep sharing what you find. Bye-bye. Talk to you next time. Have a good week.